magnificently. My heart raced as liquid heat poured from my core. I was about to explode, and he knew it. "Good girl," he whispered as he pulled away to watch my reaction.
Stop, please,"
I stuttered over my tongue, which was refusing to work right around him.
"If I stop, you agree to be mine while inside the club. You need to be wearing my mark as well."
He pulled his hand away, and damn it, my body cried in response. It was as if he'd ripped my heart out and my mind felt battered, as if he'd been in control of it instead of me.
"Fine.
I think I like you better obedient,"
he replied hoarsely. I struggled to get my mind back, to make the raging storm inside of me calm. I was still being held by him. He'd released my chin and nether region, but if he released me completely, I'd fall. So he held my waist, his thumbs caressing where my shirt left the skin exposed. I wanted to fall. I deserved it for being weak. The spell on my neck was useless with him, useless against him. He removed his knee slowly, letting me feel it as it was withdrawn from where it held me up.
"Can you stand?"
he asked after another moment. I nodded but started to fall, only to have him once again save me from falling.
"Lie to me again and I will punish you for it, severely."
"Suck it."
I had to force my teeth not to clatter together audibly while getting the words out. He was up against me instantly, his hard muscles pushing me once again into the unforgiving frame of the car.
"Make no mistake, witch. If I wanted you, it would be simple to part your legs and fuck you right here, right now. I am fighting for self-control to keep from taking what is so freely offered from you. And unless you want to be fucked on the hood of this car, you will cease with the snappy comments,"
he whispered hoarsely from low in his chest, which rattled as he emphasized his point. I bit my lip. There was no way in hell would I give him another excuse to do as he was threatening. I flicked my eyes up to meet his probing stare, my lips trembling with need for him to follow through with a threat. Hell, I think my entire body wanted him. Even my little toe.
"That's better. Now let's try this again. Can you stand?"
"No," I admitted shamelessly. I was picked up deftly, and with little effort, I was deposited on the car's sleek hood. He took measures to ensure my head didn't fall back too fast as he placed me on my back on the warm hood of his exquisite sports car.
"Stay."
Like I could go anywhere if I tried. I was a hapless mess of liquid heat. This was embarrassing. I'd never been more so in my entire life. I didn't hear or see any cars go by, thankfully. My body was still shuddering from the loss of his touch, and I resented it to no end. The crunch of his shoes over the gravel made me hiss. I hated him. I'd hated what he was for this very reason. He just reinforced my hate. He just made me feel weak. And worse, he'd made me his, even if it had only been for a short time.
"Sit up."
I rolled my eyes and tried. Nothing happened. Fuck buckets. Why me? There were 1,000 other witches in Washington State. Why the hell did they have to pick me?
"Ask for help. Pride will do you more harm than good here."
My eyes flew to his, which now had the royal fey lines inside of their endless depths, swirling hypnotically, searching, only to discover I saw passion and desire inside of them as white-hot as my own. That's something I never wanted from a fey, ever. "I need your..."
"I know what you need."
He tilted his dark head, probing my eyes, searching them as his lips curved into a smile.
"Tell me how much you want it."
"I need your help," I whispered it. It wasn't something I asked for often, if ever. I was self-sufficient. I was the person they called when shit went awry. When someone couldn't get to their mark, they called me.
I bet that killed you to say,
he growled as he moved his massive frame closer to the hood. I exhaled a deep, shaky breath and averted my eyes away from him to the trees behind him. Or tried to. His hands grasped my legs and pulled me closer to where he stood between them. Then he grabbed my shoulders and pulled me up, draping my useless arms over his shoulders while he produced something from his pocket. He pulled a thin silver chain out and reached up with one hand, moving my hair from my neck gently. His fingers rubbed over the naked flesh seductively, enticingly, sending my heart into another fit of beats. A Celtic knot was etched on the chain, along with a tribal dragon, the same one he had tattooed on his upper chest. His voice was low but steady when he spoke.
By accepting this, Cynthia, you become my property until I say otherwise. I can either be the one who protects you or the one who hunts you. Decide.
My anger rose up again, even higher than it had been before.
I am not yours,
I argued. He laughed, coldly, harshly. He lowered those damn lips of his and pressed them against my ear, his breathing steady, his breath hot and erotic against my oversensitive flesh.
I can smell you, witch. I made your pussy wet. For me. I can make you feel things no other man can or ever will. If you're not mine, then you are open to be hunted by me and the other Fae. If you say no, little witch, you better fucking run and run fast.
His words trailed off, his mouth pressed more forcefully against my ear as a soft, throaty growl resonated from deep in his chest.
I like to hunt, but I like to fuck more. Can you guess what will happen when I catch you, Cynthia?
He pulled away, which caused my body to sink without his added weight against it. And this ownership? What does it entitle you to? I asked, knowing that somewhere there would be a catch. We were taught that there was always a catch when dealing with the Fae, because they were incapable of lying. That made them masters of manipulating their words. His kind loved to play games, loved to mind fuck you and turn you inside out. All the Fae did. His lips rose into a twisted smile, which unnerved me to my bones. His hand came up to cut my face beneath my chin.
For now, it means no other of my kind can touch you without my consent.
That wasn't so bad. I didn't want to be touched by any of them, including him. I still couldn't bring myself to say the words, but I didn't say anything as he released my chin and moved his hand to place the ends of the chain together. I felt it. A violent bolt of white-hot pleasure ripped through me. My body jackknifed against him and would have fallen to the cold ground had he not reacted just as fast, catching and holding me against his chest. This was stronger and more violent, this lust he just made me feel.
Shh, it will only last for a moment.
I inhaled and let it out slowly, carefully tasting the intense pleasure as my face pressed against his enticing scent. He smelled different than most Fae. Instead of smelling like otherworldliness, he smelled of ambrosia, crisp and clean and foreign. He stood there, allowing me to come back to my senses. Can you make it stop aching? I asked.
I can put you in the car, witch. The effects should wear off shortly.
He replied, already lifting me, even though I had yet to agree. He pressed my core against his navel, bringing my face up entirely too close to his.
Stop your fuck me vibes, witch, or you will cause a fucking riot inside my club.
He growled sharply. This is not my fault, Ryder. I never asked to be fae-fucked on the side of the highway. I retorted, seething that he would choose to belittle me for something he had done in the first place.
Ryder. She's so fucking green, untried, unsampled by my kind. I should have bent her over the hood and taken what I needed, what I wanted, could have stolen the memory, erased it from her mind. She's a puzzle that I want to tear apart and watch as she struggles to put herself back together. Her scent is driving me crazy. I want to push apart her sweet pink flesh and sink my cock in until she knows nothing else, wants for nothing else. I want to fill her, feel her as her warm, sleek muscles clench my hard length lovingly. Feel her from the inside, abuse her insides until she screams for me. I get what I want, and right now, it's her. She could run, but I'd catch her. I always catch my prey. I take because I can, because no one else can stop me. I am what she fears. I can smell it coming off her in succulent waves, and it drives my inner beast insane. She is trying to hide it. Useless, futile fucking attempt. I can smell it as I can smell her fucking sex, begging me to tear off those tight fucking jeans and ravage it. She's a hot-blooded woman, and she needs to be fucked. Hard, soon, by me. She denies it in her mind, inside her blood. She's young, untrained in the bedroom. Her only lover was a damn child as green as she is. Her supple curves, her sweet smell when she's ready. Unfucking believably addictive. Inside me, he's fighting for control, fighting to get out and take what I deny him. I tell him it takes time, to be patient, and he growls. Impatient asshole. She isn't like the others I feed from. Her hate could feed me for years alone, and her lust will be a fucking feast. If she fucks like she fights, she will be worth chaining in the white room and keeping around as I wanted to do from the first moment I saw her. Ah, the white room. She'd like the toys. I'd become her ultimate fantasy from hell with them. She thinks this is bad, that I fey-fucked her, but she hasn't tasted of my cock. She will. The chain that now binds her to me will wear her walls down, giving me the fullest access to what I want. She believes it is for protection. Stupid. No one would ever dare to approach a female who walks in beside me. They fear me. They know what I am. Know my plans. Know I am the biggest, meanest fucking thing on this planet right now. She's smart, though. I can see it in her eyes. Endless depths of knowledge. If she sees through this charade we play, she will become my slave. I'm going to make her scream my name, make her tremble and explode on my cock. I will have her. Maybe I will keep her as a pet. She'd look good in chains. She'd look better with my cock between her sultry lips, fucking it with her full mouth. I smile. She flinches. I show her my teeth. And when she does the same, I narrow my eyes, flashing her with my hungry glow and watching as her eyes register the hunger deep inside of me for what it is. She turns, and my beast screams. He wants to play with her. It's not a good thing. I lean over her, making sure my body presses hard against her lithe frame while I fasten her seatbelt. I enjoy the breath she expels as I make contact. I smile inwardly, but it's all teeth. I just found a challenge in her hate, in her scent. Oh, her bloody fucking scent. My cock is straining, pressing against the fucking suit I despise, but it's needed to pull off this fucking charade, this part of my brilliant, bloody fucking plan. She moves her head away, refusing to make eye contact with me. She's mocking me. I can smell her need. Inside her room, I could smell her wet folds begging me to take them. She has refused all men who have tried since he died. I've been watching her for a very long time now, planning and determining why Marie wanted me to find her. She smells of magic, wild and untamable. Wild magic is dangerous. She's different than normal witches. Marie discovered this, sent me a letter to protect her, but died before she could explain more. She's a puzzle, and the challenge in her eyes excites me. She's challenging me. Even now, her eyes narrow on me, watching me as I watch her back hungrily. Challenge fucking accepted.
Chapter 7. We finally pulled off the highway a little over 30 minutes later. The road wasn't well-traveled, but it was paved. More trees separated us from the world. Good. I needed them right now. My oxygen level hadn't gone back to normal since his mouth was on mine. My legs still trembled with need. I hated it. Hated him. Hated this day. Wished it was over. I could tell it was far from it. Why am I here again? I asked, testing my weight on my legs and smiling when they proved to work once more. To sign a contract. He replied with disinterest, mocking me. If you embarrass me inside, you will regret it. Try to act like a lady. My jaw dropped. I was a lady. I can act like a lady. His eyes mocked me, as if he was saying, prove it. He stopped me briefly, and with a flick of his hand, he righted my appearance to the way it was before our little roadside standoff. I had no sooner grasped what he had done before he was moving again without a single word. I hurried to catch up with him, but by the time I reached him, the doors to the club were opened by two giant fae, both dressed in dark shirts and low-hung jeans. Both were brunettes with the same shoulder-length hair and dark green eyes. Twins?
Ryder, good to see you, brother,
the one on the left said, followed by a nod from the one on the right.
Savlin, Severin, are they here yet?
Ryder asked, already walking away without waiting for an answer from the twins. I tried to follow him, but was body-checked by both men. Today was not my day. I was going to need a donut pillow for my behind by the time I got home. I came back up onto my feet like a firecracker. I'm with him, I growled fiercely.
New pet, Ryder?
The one called Severin asked over his shoulder, looking over at where Ryder had turned to watch us. The guy's green eyes were looking me over, which was making me sweat from the intensity inside them. I also looked to where Ryder stood, his eyes raking over me as well, his cocky grin locked in place.
She is. Let her through. Anything else?
The tall fae asked, his eyes telling me he enjoyed this job entirely too much.
Assemble the team. We'll be in the third room, the warded one,
Ryder said, sweeping his hand in the direction of a staircase. The club was huge inside, and unlike the nondescript wood on the outside, the inside was lavishly decorated. Beams stood out prominently from the ceiling every few feet, going from one side of the room to the other. The high ceilings had chandeliers that hung from each beam, all made with spiky coral. The tables had similar, much smaller ones that hung on chains from the same beams, lighting up the tables and also dimly illuminating a more private setting in the back. Celtic designs were highlighted on the walls, light shining through them from behind the frosted glass paneling. Brighter blue lights lit up the bar area through more frosted glass. The stage was set up for a performance, guitars and other instruments laid out as if the band had just stepped out for a smoke. The stairway he was walking to lit up before his foot could even touch the first step, as if it was aware he was on it before he actually was. I watched as each step he climbed changed to a different color before I attempted to step on it myself. My eyes bulged as I stepped on it and a siren went off across the room. My eyes went up to meet Ryder's golden stare. He turned and kept walking as if nothing had happened, So I continued to follow him, watching as each step he took changed from the beautiful rainbow colors to crimson red as I stepped onto them. It was an alarm system, as if the stairs could tell the difference between my steps and Ryder's. When we reached the top, a long, winding hallway stretched out before us. Ryder's long strides were difficult to keep up with, but I managed, just barely. While I wasn't short by normal standards, I was when compared to his long legs. I had to jog to catch up, just to fall behind as soon as I did. "Why are we really here?" I asked, looking behind me as I felt something slither over my skin. I shook my head and brought my eyes forward just in time to collide against Ryder's chest. I jumped back as if he was on fire.
"Consider it another part of your interview."
I rolled my eyes and rubbed my arm where I felt something touch my skin. There was nothing there, but the feeling had yet to leave my skin. I stood, shifting from foot to foot, wondering what he would make me do now. I didn't have to wait long before 10 well-built fae dressed in dark-colored clothing walked up behind us, blocking my exit. I stepped back away from them. The odds of fighting them all were slim if they decided they wanted a fight. Hot breath touched the side of my neck, and I instantly realized I'd stepped toward Ryder for protection. He'd probably help them beat the shit out of me.
"Behave, or I will make you."
Ryder growled low and huskily into my ear, quiet enough that those striding toward us wouldn't be able to hear him. I watched the men get closer, their features hidden in the shadows by the hallway's dim lighting. As they all got closer to where I stood, motionless and on high alert, my hands itched for weapons I'd left at home. I hated that I was defenseless except for my spells. They nodded their dark heads in Ryder's direction before he opened the door behind us and walked through, the others waiting for me to follow his lead. I did, but the moment I passed over the threshold, I felt it again, the slithering. And then a violent pain rocked me, and nausea fought to get out from my throat. "What the heck?" I shouted, even as I tried to keep the bile at bay.
"It is magic proof,"
someone behind me said, pushing past me into the room.
"Well, at least from your kind of magic,"
he snorted. I held my hand out in front of me, the scars normally hidden by the faint glamour I usually generated to hide them, now showed vividly. Whatever they had inside this room stripped all magic from me, all glamour. I was officially 100% fucked. They watched me, seeing me. A witch was normally covered in spells. Most ran out of room and would be forced to use their faces or necks to complete their spells. Most were ruined of flesh by the time they had hit my age. I had one spell to bar Fae from using me for sex, and that had been done at the hairline of my neck. Two stars sat on my shoulders, marking the two deaths that had touched my soul, and another on my hip to always remind me of what happened. The rest were not visible unless I chose them to be, or unless I stepped under a blacklight.
"Fuck me. She isn't all fugglied out,"
the Fae Ryder had referred to as Savlian said as he came around, his eyes narrowed slightly. He took in my features more carefully. I glared at him, and then closed my eyes briefly as nausea rolled deep inside of me. Removing power that quickly was dangerous, and it was taking everything I had to stay upright on my feet. Ryder was watching me intently. It took a very powerful witch not to succumb to the loss of their powers. Most would be flopping on the floor at his feet like a fish out of water. I flicked my gaze to the walls. White walls to the naked eye. Sanctioned spells were written upon them, rendering anyone not of the Fae defenseless inside the room.
"Cool trick," I growled, righting myself and squaring my shoulders firmly.
"You have no visible ink. Explain,"
Ryder said in disdain. I smiled coldly, unwilling to share my secrets with him.
"Want another example of why you don't want to fuck with me?"
I don't need ink, I whispered, narrowing my eyes at Ryder.
Explain.
I can't explain it. Not here.
Try,
he barked angrily. I can't, not without having a target on me. So unless you want to give me one... I let the question trail off, leaving it for him to figure out. I was bluffing, of course. If I stepped out of the room, I could call up the power to light up my spells, but he wasn't on my need-to-know list as far as I was concerned.
Sinjin, bring me the contract. Zaruk, get to it.
I wanted to leave, like this instant. The slithering feeling had yet to go away, as if something was literally crawling over my skin. I hated being unarmed. I felt weak, and the worst part was that they knew I was. I knew how to fight better than most, but the odds were seriously not in my favor.
On your knees.
The one called Zaruk growled with a thick accent I tried to place. On my knees? I exhaled slowly. I was in severe need of a stiff drink.
Zaruk, give her some options first.
Ryder said, moving to lean his shoulder against a barren wall. There was nothing else I could immediately see inside the room, other than white walls and marble flooring, which was also white. It looked sterile and just made me want to run away.
Choices are overrated. She won't tell us anyway,
Zaruk said. He was dressed in a white robe similar to one from Assassin's Creed. His face was hidden until he turned and looked directly at me.
Tell us why you hate the Fae. Marie couldn't explain it, since it was not her story to tell us.
I watched him push his hood back, revealing yet another Fae, beautiful yet deadly. His eyes lit up in an electric blue color, which only made him more stunning, with dark shoulder-length, wavy, dark blonde hair and perfect bronze skin.
Fuck you,
I snarled, tearing my eyes from him and leveling Ryder with a murderous glare. They had no fucking right.
You want me to work for you? Fine, but that doesn't give you the right to ask stupid questions.
Told you. She's got stubborn written on her forehead, Ryder.
Zaruk laughed harshly. My knees were kicked out from behind me violently. It was the same as had been done the day before inside his vault. I kept my eyes leveled on the Dark Prince.
I came with your stupid mark on me because you said it would protect me.
I flinched as a knife blade was brought to my throat and my hair was grabbed hard from behind.
You will address him with respect, bitch.
The words were cold, calculated, and filled with promise of death dripping from each syllable.
I said no other Fae could touch you without my permission, Cynthia. Do it, Zaruk. No more fucking around. If she won't tell us, we will take it.
Ryder's voice trailed off, sending shivers racing down my spine. The knife was removed from my throat and the slithering on my skin intensified. The room's air grew thick and tainted, dark magic running through my skin and searching inside my mind. My lips quivered, and my hands shook where they were still balled up at my sides. Ryder, don't. Please. It took every ounce of pride inside of me to say it. I could feel something searching my memories. Too little, too late. I was no longer in the room with the Fae. I was forced into the last place I ever wanted to be again, one I hadn't been to since that ill-fated day. Tears swam in my eyes, but I refused to allow them to fall. I knew it was coming, knew it like the back of my hand. Voices I'd thought to never hear again laughed in front of me, echoing around the walls. Darling, she's too young. She needs time. My mother's gentle voice sang with laughter as her ocean blue eyes lit up with her smile.
Nonsense. She's old enough to dance with me, Serena.
My father's deep baritone came seconds before his features smoothed out enough that I could see him, motioning for the child who looked on with uncertainty. My father's dark brown hair framed his face perfectly, and his eyes smiled with their perfect navy blue depths.
Daddy, play our song.
The soft voice sent chills down my spine. That child was weak, pathetic. I hated her. I wanted to bury her. And I'd done just that long ago. Journeys faithfully came on, his hand never touching the stereo. Magic. He'd been the headmaster for the Spokane Coven. He'd been my hero and my teacher. I turned my head to the left and watched as the child decided if she should go, unsure of her place. "Come, darling," he said with so much love in his voice that a single tear dropped from mine and the child's eyes in sync. My mother laughed and slowly walked over to the 5-year-old I had been, her hand coming up to catch the tear and wipe it away with a smile. I was such a crybaby as a child, unsure of my place in the world, unsure of so many things that I shouldn't have been worried about. The child moved closer, a small smile on her face. My father smiled warmly, welcoming her into his arms before allowing her to step upon his feet and dance with him. I watched them from where I sat on the thick blue carpet of my family home's floor, my stomach flipping over with horror, regret, and fear of what was to come. I hated Ryder more for this, more than I did for his fae fucking me on the highway. My mother laughed as she sat on the wooden chair she had always despised, even though my father loved it. Her radiant smile was like a knife through my heart. I wanted to scream, to warn them, but I knew nothing I did now would change what was coming. I'd relived this nightmare until I knew every detail intimately. The song ended, and the child stayed. She was mesmerized by him, my father. He was her everything, always kissing scrapes and scaring the fears away. He'd always been there, always, until they took him from me. I looked toward the door. I knew what was coming. It always did. The door shook from the impact of a heavy fist pounding on it. They both went stiff. The wards in the house pulsed and flared with angry red lettering, warning them of evil intent. They knew. Every time I saw this, it was obvious they knew what was coming, what was happening. And every time, they were still helpless against what was in store for them. I wanted to scream. I needed to, but I didn't. I settled for shaking my head. It, too, was useless. Cynthia, come with Mommy. I need you to be big for me. Can you do that? Her voice was low and it trembled. Every fucking time. I wanted it to end. I searched wildly with my eyes for a way out. I hated this part. I didn't want to see it. Stop this! I cried to no avail.
I can, Mommy. I promise.
I wanted to slap the child, to make her blind, make her not see it. And then maybe, just maybe, I'd have lived a normal life, one not haunted by this dream. My mother opened the hidden door behind the fire grate. She stopped long enough to kiss the child on her cheek. She wanted to say something, but the door was splintering and crashing into the house as it was kicked in. Go, she whispered, pushing the child through and closing it. 5 men swarmed the room, death in their eyes, their strides. Fucking fae, all of them, dark and light, working together. Fucking fae. One swung what looked like an oversized bat to my 5-year-old mind, threatening my father. Now I knew it was called a cudgel or a club.
Where is the gift?
The tallest one screamed, his voice shrill as it came out in layers.
Gone,
my father said, standing up tall, undeterred by the wooden club or the deadly creatures he was facing. Pride swelled inside of me, inside of the child me. He was so brave.
I can smell the gift. Show us, or the pretty blonde gets to entertain us until you do.
The dark-haired one growled, his voice multi-layered. His eyes were black and gray, marking him bay. Even at 5, I could tell they were evil. I turned, looking at where my child self had been hidden. She should have turned away. She should have done something. Fight, scream, give them something to use besides her parents. But she just stood there, behind the grate, watching in terror. I glared at her, as if it would make her do something. This happened so long ago. Nothing changed each time I saw it. Ever. My mother screamed as they descended upon her. One held the ropes and attacked my father. I was their weakness, and they knew it. They couldn't fight. To use magic would have disrupted the house, and to keep me safe, they'd had it balanced far enough away from the ley line they needed to use for casting. In the end, it had cost them their lives. More screaming followed as my father was tied to the wooden chair and left helpless to do anything but watch as they tore into my mother. He tried fighting them to get to my mother. That was when it turned ugly. The sound of wood breaking bone was hard to forget. Sickening. The crunch audible and unforgettable. Blood was everywhere. The sound he made when he tried to call for my mother took my breath away. I wanted this memory to stop. I didn't want to watch this. I sank the rest of the way to the floor. It was too much.
Chapter 8.
The child didn't know what was going on, only that the bad creatures were hurting her parents. Now four of the Fae were taking turns with her mother, stealing her mind and killing her soul. She couldn't know that the grunts and grinding were torture to make her father talk, that her mother's cries were from pain and pleasure alike. Her father's outrage covered some of the screams, but not all. Shock kept her eyes locked on the horror that was befalling them. The club smashing into her father over and over again, her mother screaming and moaning until there was nothing more than moans leaving her lips. When the last one climbed off my mother, I could finally see her beautiful face. She was beyond pain, her mind fractured. She begged for more, wanted more of what they had done to her. Bile rose in my throat. The child was just now figuring out what happened. My mother caressed herself and lifted her white skirt for more. She begged them to finish her, to continue the assault. She was weak. My father yelled at her, trying to reach inside her mind. He was horrified by what she was doing, and yet he told her he did not blame her and that he would always love her. He understood. Another sick thud sounded from the club. This one smashed against his face while I stood behind the grate and covered my mouth with my hands. Stupid child. Weak child. One fucking word from her and this could have been averted. One whisper from her lips and they could have died. Just one. Another sickening blow, and with it the only sound left inside of the room was the Fae snickering and my mother's barely audible gibberish as she begged them for their touch. I turned from where I was sitting on my knees, watching as the child I had been tilted her small blonde head and wiped away the useless tears that streaked down her face. If I'd only been stronger, if I'd not been so weak, I'd still have my parents. I noticed a new Fae had arrived. I wasn't sure what kind he was, and he appeared to be arguing with the other ones who had ravaged my family. The taller, dark Fae that seemed like the group's leader smiled, unaffected by the newcomer's outrage.
This wasn't supposed to happen here. We were only supposed to question them and retrieve the gift. What have you done?
The new Fae argued angrily.
Consider them questioned. The weak fool should have never agreed to retrieve the gift. He brought this upon all of us by changing his mind. Maybe now everything will right its course and we will go to war as should have happened long ago.
He slid closer to my mother.
The next person who comes through the door, you will shoot them, my sweet little whore.
He smiled with his cold, lifeless smile and whispered his heartless words against my mother's ear. I will, my mother whispered softly. Her eyes flickered on the bloody lump that had been my father. He wasn't dead, but my child self didn't know that. She was waiting. I'm not sure how long I waited in that hiding place, or how much time had passed before I climbed out. It felt like an eternity to me back then. I watched as the Fae tore the house apart. They were looking for something, searching. Time passed. I kept still, not daring to move or uncover my mouth where my hands was holding the screams at bay. I listened. The door closed, and still I didn't come out. My mother was holding the gun, the one they gave her, the silver caught in the sun's rays as they streamed through the windows. When I finally did climb out, she just watched me. I wasn't sure if it was because I didn't walk through the door that she hadn't shot me right away. She was alive, and yet her mind had been cleared of everything. She was a blank slate. No memories of us remained inside her mind. No recognition showed inside her eyes. Nothing.
"Mama?"
I whispered. She turned and held out the gun and took aim at me. I didn't back down, didn't falter.
"Mama, please."
My voice shook. Stupid child couldn't see that she was gone, couldn't tell that her mother had been turned fizz.
"Sin."
My father's voice was shallow, the blood he was choking on floods from his lips.
"Daddy?"
I moved toward him, but the gun followed me. I stopped, glaring down the business end of the gun. My eyes were swimming with tears. I could feel the life draining from my father. His breathing grew shallow with each attempt he made to get more words out.
"Never forget. Sin. Secret. Our secret. Never forget."
His eyes rolled back in his head. The child struggled to understand his words, struggled to understand why he was staring at the ceiling. He died right in front of me that day. She didn't understand death, but she will. What secret? I never understood this part or what he'd told me. She turned to go back to her mother, the gun still aimed at her. She was going to pull that trigger soon. Her finger was locked on the trigger, her void eyes seeing nothing.
"Mommy, please, I'll be good,"
the child wailed. The gun went off. I watched as the child's hand flicked the air and deflected the bullet. It went back the way it had come. Blood splattered and covered my face. I stood there and watched her without making a sound. The only sound inside the room was the sound of my heart beating with magic. I killed my mother. Instead of sending the gun out of her hands, I killed her. I looked at the child I'd been. Her shoulders dropped as she fell to the floor, trying to figure out how to fix her mother. In my mind, I'd thought I could. I'd been 5. I found new words that day. Death, destruction, despair, and most of all, I learned what it felt like to hate. I watched as she struggled to pick everything up, slipping and sliding on the blood around the corpse. She hears a noise. The door. She throws up the protective shield, the one she should have thrown up to save them, had she been stronger, faster, smarter. Marie screamed. Her voice was shrill as she took in the horrors of the room. I winced as my child self turned, covered in my mother's blood. I didn't let her into the protection of the spell, and she wasn't stronger than the child I had been. Alden came in behind her. His gasp grated on my nerves.
"Cynthia, are you hurt?"
Marie asked, her voice low and clear.
"My mother is broken. Father is sleeping,"
the 5-year-old said as if it was true, but she knew better. She knew by then that they were dead. She could feel the loss of them inside of herself. Where once there had been love was now an empty void of death in its place.
"Did she do this?"
Alden's whisper made my skin crawl. This was the work of evil. Even the child knew that much. In the end, she would blame herself because father had been a warrior and he'd died to protect her.
"They were looking for something. Was it me?"
the child asked with eyes too old for a 5-year-old. "Alden, enough. She's in shock," Marie whispered, as if the child wouldn't hear. I pulled back, shoving the memories of what happened next away. My hands ripped into my memories as if I could shred them. I won't relive the next part, taking their souls. At 5, I was stronger than any other witch. History would record the details of what transpired next. I'd be a lab rat for Alden for years after the deaths of my parents because of it.
Enough. We risk damaging her mind if you continue,
Ryder said softly, his voice penetrating the illusion. The room turned white again, my body shaking with violent spasms. I ground my teeth together, wanting to kill them for seeing what happened.
Interesting. They were looking for something,
the fae behind me said. Dristan cleared his throat.
I don't recognize any of them. They look enough.
Ryder interrupted sharply and glared at him. I blinked, bringing the room back into focus as I fought for air and stood even before I found my balance. My chest heaved from the pain of reliving the worst day in my life. My eyes flicked to Ryder's golden gaze. He looked almost puzzled and disturbed by what he had seen. I turned to push past his men, but I was boxed in, as if they knew I would leave. I hated what I found in their eyes. Pity. Move, I snarled, wanting to get the fuck out of there, to go home and curl into a ball until the feeling of hate and hopelessness passed. It normally took days.
She was a victim,
Saruk said softly. I am not a victim, I growled low and clearly pronounced each word.
No, then what are you?
He asked, angered by my words. I'm a survivor. Saruk bowed his dark blonde hair. I'd never allowed myself to be a victim from that day forth. I'd fought hard and was best in the class I graduated with from the Guild Academy. Marie had been there every step, helping me, cheering me on. Alden had blamed me, but with good reason. I'd pulled their souls and refused to allow them to leave me. Fear was a bitch. It could make you do things you never thought yourself capable of. I'd pulled their souls before I had known what I was doing. It had been grief which made me act hastily, mixed with young age and too much power. I'd ended up branded with 2 stars upon my shoulders as a reminder of my first failure in life.
She's damaged,
another inside the room said, as if I wasn't standing right there. You have no idea. Damaged makes me look normal.
She is. Can she do the job we need her to?
Dristan asked. I hated that they had ripped these memories from my mind, and yet this time when they replayed it, my father's words had not been so silent. When it was happening, my mind wouldn't grasp what he'd said. Fuck you, and fuck your job, Ryder. I'm out of here. I growled and turned with every intention of walking out.
Call the guild. Get Alden on the phone,
Ryder said smoothly. I exhaled and closed my eyes slowly, fighting for composure. I'm damaged, and others can use glamour. I offered him a solution to his problem.
I don't want others. I need the best, and you came highly recommended by Marie.
I blinked and turned, looking at him over my shoulder. Marie is dead, I snapped angrily.
She is, but she was a friend of my father's.
Ryder supplied. Find someone else, I barked, wanting out of the room. I felt as if the walls were closing in around me.
Call the guild,
he snapped at the fae closest to the desk that sat against the back barren wall of the room.
You just fucked with my head. What do you expect me to do? Kiss your boots, fairy? Wrong girl to ask that from.
I sneered coldly.
Quite the opposite. I think you are the right girl for the job,
he interjected. I wanted to tell him where to stick it, but he knew from Alden that if I didn't take this job, it would be my last one. I could run, live by myself, but I'd probably be signing Adam and Larissa's death warrants, too. That was something I wouldn't do, and he knew it, which made him dangerous.
I have a contract written up. You will sign it.
I glared at him, without confirming or denying I would be signing anything.
You sign it. I will not yield to you, Ryder, I snapped.
His lips tightened.
Oh, but I think you will yield. You will do more than just yield to me.
He snapped his fingers and the door to the room opened.
You will lie down and yield, even if it includes you begging me to allow it. Sin.
Adam's voice pushed me over the edge, my anger boiling over the rim. Startled, I looked at him sharply. How long had he been here, and how much had he seen?
You asshole!
I snarled at Ryder, uncaring who heard or who pulled a knife. I was ready to attack.
Sin, be careful. Alden is signing his own contract right now. It's why I was sent over here.
Adam advised at my side. I bet he is. Alden could count his fucking days. They were numbered by forcing me into this damn corner. It seemed like he had been abusing his power since Marie had been killed. It was widely rumored that he'd been taking jobs from the highest bidder, and that was against the laws of the guild. It had been created to protect the human race, not line our pockets.
Fine, I snarled, holding my hand out for the contract.
Ryder smiled coldly as if he'd won. I rolled my eyes as he grabbed my hand instead of handing me the contract. His fingers curled around my own, reminding me of what had happened on that abandoned stretch of highway. I tried to pull my hand away, but he was stronger, and his pull brought my body flush against his.
Let me go now,
I cried, the memories of my mother coming to the fore with a vengeance. He released his hold, as if the memories had also flooded his mind. His eyes narrowed as he took in my ashen color. Maybe if I was crazy enough, I could get out of this before signing his stupid contract. His lips turned up wickedly at the corners. I narrowed my own eyes, wondering if he was reading my mind. I knew some Fae had the ability to do so, but I was unsure what powers he had, and until I could figure it out, I'd need to be damn careful what I allowed to enter my mind. I discarded the thought and walked to the desk. The vellum, which the contract had been written on, was gray, and it sent chills up my spine just looking at it. Legend had it that the Fae had made contracts on the skin of those who committed treason against their race. They skinned them alive and kept them in a suspended state until they grew more, only to take the next skin the traitor grew. It put a whole new spin on recycling. I wasn't going to touch it. Didn't matter what it said, and if I didn't sign it, I would be signing death warrants for those of my friends. I looked around for a pen, but the only thing on the small wooden desk beside the parchment was a bone-handled knife. A sinking feeling took residence inside my stomach. I turned and glared at Ryder. His smile was still all teeth.
Read it,
he growled huskily. I raised a single brow. Does it really matter if I read it? I either sign this or I go to war with the guild, and that's not something I want to do. I had friends inside the guild, more than just those of my coven. He picked up the knife, and as I watched him, sliced the palm of his hand wide open. Thick blood turned crimson as it hit the air. My eyes were riveted to his hand, my own balled into a fist, and I stepped back. His voice was rich and husky as he asked for mine.
Give me your hand.
He interrupted my moment of panic. It took all of my willpower to raise my hand for him while he held that knife in his other hand. My inner self was screaming. Something more was going on here than just signing his damn contract, and my mind knew it. I winced as he cut shallowly into my hand. A hiss left my lips. I scanned over the contract, but it wasn't as if I had a choice. Larissa and Adam's lives were on the line if I didn't.
I ask of you to honor this contract by blood. Do you agree to honor it, Cynthia Rain McKenna?
His voice was low, hypnotic, like a caress inside my mind. My eyes flickered up to Adam's and back to Ryder's. Yes, I said quietly. The moment I said it, he placed my hand in his, palms together, and violent waves of pain and pleasure mixed together, shocking my senses until I was holding on to him to stay upright. I cried out, feeling something tear through me. He must have been feeling the same thing. His eyes turned hard and a tick started in his jaw. When the violent reaction had slowed and our pulses were once again at a semi-normal rate, he slammed both our hands on the graying parchment. The walls lit up with a glowing fluorescent blue color, and then it was gone, just as fast as it had started.
"What the hell did you just make me do?"
I shouted. His eyes narrowed considerably as they snaked their gaze from my head, down my body slowly, his tone low and dangerous as his words filtered out, penetrating me sharper than the knife had ever come close to doing.
"I took your blood. Now there is nowhere you can hide that I won't be able to find you, pet. You took from me. I took from you. Tit for tat, so to speak. I suggest next time you read the fine lines inside a contract before blindly signing it. I own you."
Chapter 9. I was freaking out, yet I managed to keep it hidden, but just barely. I hadn't been able to see a way out of signing it, and now the deed was done. Now, reading it in a booth across from Ryder, I was considering a long jump off a tall bridge. "I am not feeding you. Ever," I snarled, reading the page again. He snorted and slammed his own copy down onto the table.
"It says only in the event that it is an emergency situation, for which my needs take higher demand than your prudish pride."
"I am not a prude." I wasn't, was I? Some at the guild said I was, but then I wasn't a virgin either, so I didn't consider myself to be one.
"I bet you have never been naked with a man. Not completely. I'm not speaking about clothes either."
Wasn't that what being naked meant? I groaned, rubbing my fingers over my temples. Adam sat one booth away from where I'd sunk into a booth in the back of the club to lick my wounds alone. Ryder had followed me, like a proud peacock that was ruffling his feathers with his damn contract. "That is so none of your business," I sneered, not knowing what the hell he meant, only that I didn't want to go down that road of discussion right now. I needed coffee, or tea, anything with an insane amount of caffeine would be welcomed right about now. I scanned through another section, finding yet another thing I wasn't about to let happen.
"You want to pick my clothes? What the hell is wrong with my clothes?"
His eyes took in my sleeveless top and sank lower, as if he was sneering with disdain at my jeans.
"They were jeans, for monkey butt's sake."
"I have a certain reputation, Cynthia. I won't have it smeared with being shadowed by a child who wears the clothes of an immature teenager to this interview."
"I'm wearing jeans. Half the country wears them," I cried, pissed that he was nitpicking everything about me.
Okay, so he had a point. If it had been for a client of the guild or anyone but him, I'd have actually dressed for the occasion. I'd dressed as I did because I wanted to be fired, quickly.
"Don't worry. You can pick out your own panties for now."
I grumbled and continued to read, regretting being so hot-headed and not reading before he'd taken my soul, if that was what he had done. I could still feel the heat boiling in my veins, but I had yet to determine if that was him or my anger.
"Why can't I date while in your employment?" I squeaked. What the hell was up with his sudden interest in my personal life anyway? Did it matter who I dated or what I wore?
"It's to protect my interests. Besides, with a mouth like yours, I'm pretty sure you don't have men lining up at your door asking for a date."
I glared while chewing on my bottom lip nervously. Okay, I really didn't have men lining up to date me, as if I'd tell him that. Oh, hell no.
"This is bullshit. We don't even know who we're after or if they'll even make an attempt for your bride anytime soon. It could be like weeks before anything happens."
His eyes just stared at me, like I was the most brainless woman on the West Coast. When he didn't say anything, I continued. "This is only good until I find who is after the princess, right?" I babbled as my panic started to escalate.
It's indefinite, or until I decide otherwise. I'm Faye. We like to own.
His eyes moved to my chest and back up to meet my eyes.
Things.
I swallowed down the urge to scream, because it wouldn't help me now. I squirmed in my seat, my nails sinking into the expensive leather of the booth's cushion. My stomach was pitching, my mind running wild with the knowledge of what I'd done. How long before I can be released from this contract? His eyes scanned me carefully, his lips growing taut as he considered it, but he said nothing. He just sat there and watched my reaction. I tried to save my friends, and in the process, I'd lost my soul to him. If he wanted to fuck me, all he had to do was demand it. I can't do this. I can't, I sputtered, needing to get outside to get air. I was up and moving in the direction of the door before I had the words out from between my lips. His hands dug into my flesh as he stopped me. I did the only thing I could think of. I threw a punch blindly, which connected with his nose. Before I could even think, oops. I was pinned against the far wall of the club by 200 pounds of solid Faye pinning me there.
Next time you touch me, I will punish you, he roared.
My lips shook violently and my body followed suit. The need to get outside was greater than the need to live or breathe. I clawed against him, my feet trying to find the floor unsuccessfully. I was having a glorified panic attack. As if this day couldn't get any worse, I had to go and have a panic attack in front of the dark Fae. I knew the moment he sensed it, or guessed at what was happening because his fingers went slack, and he allowed me to slide down the wall. The moment my feet touched the ground, I was gone. The bouncers at the door both moved, opening the doors so I could get outside before I threw up all over their club's shiny floors. Outside, the air couldn't fill my lungs fast enough. I'd been prone to panic attacks after the death of my parents, but it had been 10 years since the last one happened.
Sin, you okay?
Adam said, concern lighting up his green eyes as he followed closely behind me. I shook my head forcefully. My stomach heaved as tears swam in my eyes. This wasn't fucking happening. Alden knew I was against anything pertaining to the Fae. I'd had so many assignments that I'd turn down without any hesitation because they'd included the Fae.
Cynthia, slow down. This isn't as bad as it sounds. He's trying to scare you,
Larissa said, speaking low and calmly as she came into view. She must have been outside or waiting for me. Like she knew? She wasn't the one who just signed a bloody fucking contract that gave a dark Fae the right to use her body as food. He could turn me into what my mother had become, someone willing to kill her own child. Stars burst behind my eyelids, and I had the startling realization that I was going to pass out, right before someone caught me and everything turned black. I awoke to the sound of water dripping. Hushed voices played across the room, talking as if I wouldn't hear them.
I don't know. She's never passed out. Ever. Why didn't the guild disclose her previous history with the Fae before this?
Ryder's voice was angry and straight to the point.
You would have to talk to Alden about that one. I only know that it took us over a year to get her to speak after they found her. She was a mess, angry at everything. I was the one who could get through to her, reach her wherever she'd gone inside her mind, so to say. Later on, she only let Larissa and Adrian in. She was a child, traumatized by your kind, the things she's seen.
Adam's voice was filled with pain.
Which neither I nor any of my people had anything to do with,
Ryder pointed out angrily. I heard Adam snort, felt his ire rise as he defended the child I'd been. It was why he was one of my best friends. He was always there for me.
She was 5, man. 5. Inside her mind, you're all the same. You're what she fears most. She's so fucking terrified she had some jack-off tattoo a spell on her neck. There is one lesson they teach us at the guild, and that's to put the most valuable spell on your neck. And she wasted it to protect herself against becoming what her mother...
Don't, I whispered, struggling to sit up. I was not letting him give the Fae more weapons to use against me. Ryder stood with his back to the wall, his arm...